The following recording is a presentation of the Brean Baptist Church of Roanoke Park, California, and of Pastor Val Mark Smith. We are an independent Baptist congregation committed to the accurate presentation of the historical doctrines of the faith. We welcome you to visit our services anytime here in the Roanoke Park area.
I want to talk to you tonight about Christmas time. That's the title of my sermon this evening, and it's kind of a play on words because it's not Christmas time perhaps like you think of. It's not the spirit of Christmas or any of the abstracts about Christmas that I want to talk about, but I rather refer to the timing of Christmas and how the first Christmas came at the exact time that God planned and exactly when the world was ready for Christ to come. Unlike the second coming of Christ, which we don't have any idea of the time, the approximation of the coming of Christ into the world in the first advent is found in the Old Testament. And I say approximation because you do the figuring, or the figuring that we have in the Old Testament takes us to the time of Christ's death rather than to his birth. And so we arrive at the time of his birth simply by subtracting the years of his life. This morning, we read from Matthew chapter 1. And I want to return there in verses 18 to 23. Matthew said or wrote, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." And now in Galatians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Back in Matthew 1:22 again, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled." And Galatians 4:4 again, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son." I take my text from Galatians 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come." What time does the Apostle Paul speak of? What time did Christ come into the world? Did he mean, was it the right time that he came, the fullness of time? What Paul was writing about is the perfect time for Jesus to come. He came when the world was, we would say, ripe, so to speak, when God made the world ready. And God could do this because God perfectly rules time. God perfectly rules time because he doesn't exist in time. He created time. And there's only one way that you could do that. You must be outside of time. God is not bound by time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon made a summary statement about time. He said, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to the end." From the beginning to the end. That concerns all of us because we are creatures of time and space. We live in a time-conscious world. Each of us is a slave to the calendar. Now, of course, most of us don't have the wall calendars any longer. We've graduated from clocks and wall calendars and daytime journals to our phone. And I dare say that many of us probably take a shower with our phone because that tells us what we're supposed to do and when we're supposed to do it. It holds all the information about our lives. We make our appointments. We set times. We are concerned about things when they start and when they will end. We sing songs that have a beginning and an end. Our work day begins at a set time, and we're all anxious to get to the end time. And so the beginning and the end rule us. And yet that is so unlike God, because God doesn't have anything to do with beginning and endings. He's not bound by a beginning point and an ending point. For example, when the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the world, that wasn't His beginning. That was our beginning. He had no beginning and He has no ending. Now, you have to step outside of time to understand the character and the nature of God. And this is the reason that you will never figure out God, because His infinitude is our ineptitude. So here are a couple of things I'd like to point out to you about God and time. The first is that God's timing is not the same as our time. There are two Greek words in the New Testament that describe time, and these words are different depending on whether you're talking about God or man. One of these words is kairos. That word means timing, or the sense of doing things in the right time. That's what God uses. God uses kairos. The other word is the word chronos. It's a word from which we get chronology. It's a word from which we get chronometer, which is a highly accurate clock. God does not use chronos. He uses kairos. We're bound by time. We are bound by the minutes of the clock that make up the hours of the day, which make up the weeks of the year, that make up the decades, that make up the centuries. We are bound by chronology, but God is not. Then secondly, we weren't created for time, but for eternity. We're slaves to time and space, but God intends to release us from both. God didn't create us for time, but for eternity. And this is the reason that Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has set the world in our heart. And that word world in that verse can be translated as eternity. God has set eternity in our heart. If I ask you, do you know what salvation is? Oh, there are many good definitions, because salvation includes broad concepts. But for this message, I like this definition. What is salvation? Salvation is God taking you out of time and placing you in eternity. When you become a Christian, God lifts you out of this time that we are in and places you in eternity. You start thinking differently, because suddenly life is not the 70 or 80 years that you might live. With only 70 or 80 years to live, your biggest concern is this life. It's, when will you come to the end of this life? Will you get all you intended to get in this life? Because when you die, it's all over. And most people think that's just the end. There just isn't any more. But when you become a Christian, your thinking changes. Your goals change. And you start to think that there's more to life than just the physical time that you have on earth. You start living consciously, considering eternity, and you begin relating to God. Now, I want to remind you that the Bible uses the phrase eternal life repeatedly. We see that over and over again in Scripture. There's a great quantity of its usage in Scripture. But at the same time, eternal life has nothing to do with quantity, because quantity has nothing to do with eternity. It has to do with something beyond quantity. It is quality. Eternal life is a qualitative phrase. It's about the quality of life, not the length of existence. And this is the reason in John 17:3, Jesus said this about eternal life. He said, "And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Do you want a great definition of eternity? It's not living forever. It's knowing God. One of the biggest misconceptions of Christians is that eternal life begins when you die. No, friends, eternal life begins when you meet Jesus. See, God didn't create you for time. He created you for eternity. How many of you in this room, I wonder, are really living and thinking about this, that you consider living your life in light of eternity? I think all of us, or most of us, would probably admit that we spend most of our time thinking about the next hour. What's going to happen when I get out of this service? Or maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow's Christmas. Well, all are we going to do on Christmas? Who will we see? What will we do? We think about next month. We think about next year. And God says, I want you to live not in terms of time, but in time terms of eternity. Now, I would think that the question in your mind to this point would be, what does all this talk about time and eternity have to do with Christmas? Well, let me show you for just a moment. First, God perfectly rules time. And then secondly, Jesus was born at the perfect time. Our text in Galatians 4 says, when the fullness of time was come, at just the right time, Jesus was born. Some people don't believe that. I think, well, Jesus could have been surely born in a better time. What if Jesus was born today? Why wasn't Jesus born in 2023? I mean, after all, we have computers, we have technology, we have television and satellites, we have Wolf Blitzer and CNN. Folks, we could just broadcast this event, the birth of Jesus Christ, all over the world if Jesus had been born in our time. No, when Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, it was the perfect time. Let me show you some of the reasons. First, it was a time of religious expectation. After 400 years, the Jews were expecting Jesus to come. I'm talking about the time where the Messiah to come. I'm talking about the time between the ending of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New. After the Jews had returned from the Babylonian exile, they started to read the prophets. They read Isaiah and Jeremiah, Hosea and Micah, and the Old Testament prophets predicted that the Messiah would come. And there were many false messiahs that came and many who thought they could be the Messiah. We don't have time to go into all of that history this evening, but I remind you, in reading the New Testament, you'll see that a Pharisee, a Jew by the name of Gamaliel, said that if Jesus was the Messiah, then there was nothing that they could do about it. If he's the Messiah, he'll do what he does and he'll do it. And if he's not the Messiah, then his end will be like all those that came before him. It will last until it doesn't last. And history repeated that scenario many times. And so when Jesus came, the expectations were high and at their peak. I've already told you that in the Old Testament, there was a prediction of the time that the Messiah would come in the first advent. So 400 years have passed, the people are looking for the Messiah to come, and it was at the peak of their expectations that Jesus did come. But thinking about the abilities and the deceitfulness of Satan, that what he was able to do was to cause people to miss the Messiah when he came. Never in the history of the world were the expectations this high. Religious expectation at its peak was the perfect time for Jesus to be born. The second reason Christmas was the right time, it was a time of cultural saturation. This is one of the most important aspects of the timing of his coming. About 350 years before Jesus was born, Alexander the Great, a Grecian, conquered the whole known world. In just a period of 12 years, Alexander had conquered the world, and all of civilization came to know the language that Alexander the Great spoke. He was a Grecian, he spoke Greek, and his conquest was also a cultural conquest because it was Alexander who introduced the Greek culture to the world, which is known as Hellenism. And the educated people of that time, and all the great men of that time, all of the great teachers of that time, they all spoke in the Greek language. And God used that to facilitate the spread of the gospel across the known world. So in such a very, very short time after Jesus was born and died, within 100 years, all of the known world knew about Jesus Christ. Of course, unfortunately, they all didn't believe it, but Christ came at the time of that cultural saturation when people would know who he was and they could hear that in their own language. And so by the time that Jesus was born, Greek was an international language. All the educated people spoke it. And until the last couple of generations, Greek was still taught in our universities in both England and in America. Greek is an intellectual language. It's more expressive than any other language. And that's why Greek is the language of the New Testament. So God planned that to saturate the world with the witness of the Word. The most influential people spoke and read Greek. And so again, in a brief time, the gospel went to every part of the world. So the culture, that was just right for the coming of Jesus. Then a third reason, Jesus came at the perfect time. It was the time of political preparation. For history students, I think that you would all agree that the Roman Empire is the greatest in the history of the political world. It was the Roman peace, what is called the Pax Romana, a peace that the Romans caused to come across the whole world by their conquering of the world. That's what they were all about, keeping the peace. And this is one of the reasons that when you read about the story of Jesus being crucified in Jerusalem, that was all part of the plan to try to keep the peace between the Romans and the Jews. They wanted to satisfy them. And so they put Jesus on the cross. But politically, the world was being prepared by this peace. The Romans built roads all across the Roman Empire. You can still travel on many of those today. They built aqueducts. Some of them you can still see today. And they had so much worldwide authority that at the time that Jesus was born, a single emperor named Augustus issued a decree that everyone in the Roman world had to obey. They must return to the place of their birth for a taxation census. Caesar's decree affected the actions of a young man and his pregnant fiance who had to travel from their home in Galilee to Bethlehem. And do you know what Augustus, the Roman emperor, was doing? He was unknowingly following God's instructions, because the Bible prophesied 750 years before that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. These things aren't accidental. God was preparing the scene for Jesus to come. In the print of your Bible, in Micah 5, verse 2, it says, "The ruler of Israel would be born in Bethlehem." So you see, God planned this. God put it all in motion, and it was at the perfect time. God has this impeccable sense of timing when it comes to history. The religious expectation was high. The cultural saturation was ripe. The political preparation was there to make it exactly the right time for Jesus to come. But folks, I want to tell you that Christ's appearance is not the end. God does not deal with endings. There is more in His perfect timing. Christmas is a good thing for us to think about. The birth of Jesus, that's good for us. For those that know Him, though, it's not His birth that you mostly concentrate on. Not now that you know Him as Savior. That's not what you mostly concentrate on. So thirdly, I want you to know this, that Jesus will come again at the perfect time. Now, we can speak about the past. We should. But once we become Christians, our focus is a future event. God perfectly rules time. He knew the perfect time for Jesus to be born. And because He still rules time, He knows the perfect time for Him to come back to this earth. The Bible speaks of that repeatedly. The Old Testament is filled with it. The New Testament talks about the coming of Jesus Christ. And yet, there's so much confusion about it. We know how He will come, but we don't know when it will happen. The Bible says how it will happen, but it never says when. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." It's an interesting verse, because the word times in that verse is chronos, and the word seasons in the verse is kairos. What do these verses mean? It means that Jesus will come at a time unexpected. He says it's like a thief in the night. Now, you don't know when a thief is going to come. That's why you have a burglar alarm. He'll surprise you when He comes. And that's the way it will be with the coming of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And so when Jesus says, nobody knows the time that he's coming back, you can take that to the bank. And if anyone tells you they know when Jesus is coming back, don't believe it, because they don't know. There have been so many people that have been off target on this. False prophets have proved themselves to be false because they've been off target for centuries. Every few years, someone comes along and says, well, it's going to be on a certain date. Jesus will come. And that day comes, and he hasn't come yet. Now, the second thing I want you to see is that Jesus will return at the perfect time, because God's timing is so that many will repent. And this is important for you if you came tonight and you are not a Christian. If you came tonight and you haven't personally put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to listen very closely for just a little bit here, at least. And that is, God gives time for people to repent. God will come, or Jesus will come at the right time, and he hasn't come yet because there are still people that he wants to repent of their sins and come to him in faith in salvation. Because when he comes, there is no chance again. Those times are over. And so Jesus has delayed his coming so that people will come to know Christ as Savior. Christ will not come back until these that God has chosen repent of their sin and have trusted Christ. You read Peter, he said, Christ is coming back. He said, there's no doubt of that. And he said, this long wait is due to the unwillingness that God has for people who have not yet repented to come to him. He doesn't want them to die in their sins. And he won't let that happen. He will come at exactly the right time. So you might need to think about that tonight as well. What if Jesus were to come tonight? What if tonight is the right time for Jesus to come? What will you do about it? Do you know him? He's very concerned about that. What should you and I do then? Well, what we should do is tell people about Jesus so they will believe. There is no salvation without Jesus Christ. And it leads me to my final point. Stop predicting and start proclaiming. Do you know why historians call the Dark Ages the Dark Ages? From AD 1000 to AD 1500, it was the Dark Ages. One of the reasons was it was dark because the Bible was not in the hands of the people. Latin, a dead language, was the language of the Bible, and there were few people who could read it. The only ones who could read it were the educated priests, and they didn't obey it, and they didn't preach it. And so it was dark because there was no spiritual light. And we can be guilty of doing the same thing today. Then instead of us being concerned about letting someone else know about who Jesus is and telling them what Jesus did on the cross for sin and believing in him they can be saved, instead of doing that, we're in the Bible guessing about things, trying to look for secret formulas, trying to look for this, look for that, or somebody's got some kind of plan, some way of unfolding the Bible in such a way that we all know when Jesus is going to come. And God says to us, stop all that foolishness, stop all that predicting, and start proclaiming the salvation that comes in Jesus Christ. Now, one last thought for you. God perfectly rules time. Jesus was born at the perfect time. Jesus will return at the perfect time. And this final point, today is the perfect time for you to trust Jesus. You came tonight to hear about the birth of Jesus. And I do want you to know more about his birth, but his birth is past. And now I want you to know what to do in the present. I want you to know about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I want you to know that he is coming back, not to return as a baby, but as a conquering king. And it will all happen in God's perfect timing. And again, my question for you is, will you be ready when he comes? The message that you need to consider about Christmas Eve tonight and Christmas Day tomorrow is, what will you do with the Christ who already came? I hope next Sunday morning that we hear reports that eternal life arrived at just the right time in the hearts of more people, because now they know who Jesus is. Blessed be God for a perfect Savior who was born at the perfect time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now thinking about this great event that happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you sent him into the world as a sin offering. He came to pay the debt of sin that we owed, a debt that none of us could pay ourselves. And so we want to talk more than just the fact that Christ came as a baby and leave it there. No, it's a wonderful thing, but he came for a purpose. He came to live and to die, to live a perfect life, and then to die in our place for the sins that we have committed against the holy and righteous God. And should we not believe in you, then we suffer the punishment that is due us. Only Christ can take it for us. And so we encourage everyone who hears this to consider in their own hearts whether they know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, again, we thank you for this time that we've had to spend in your word tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of the Berean Baptist Church of Roner Park, California. If you would like further information about our church, please feel free to call us at area code 707-584-7275 or write to us at Berean Baptist Church, 6298 Country Club Drive, Roner Park, California, 94928. Additionally, you may visit us online at www.bebaptist.org.